It's time to talk wine, message in the bottle. Eric Meehan from Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, right on Hammond Street in Bangor between Brahma Grill and Fiddlehead Restaurant, joining us in studio. Good day, Mr. Meehan.
Woo!
Hey.
Welcome in.
I'm sorry for being late again. It's that time of year.
And look
but
now.
But you were, as you said, flexible.
And you're in the high-powered, high-paying drive time now with people in cars thinking about drinking wine. Wait, does that sound... Yeah, that's what I mean.
You should. You should go and buy wine and drink it. And
at home.
Buy more because very soon your relatives are going to be there.
You are going to need fortification.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. Fortunately, they're out of our listening area, but I can feel my parents' imminent arrival in a couple days.
Now, does that cause more stress for you or for Christine?
Yes.
Oh, dear.
Maybe even... No, I mean, it's so funny. They're just, grandparents with grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like fever pitch. It's like we gotta suck all the life out of the time we have before we go back to Kennebunk, that sort of thing.
Do your kids get like completely off the wall when grandparents are there?
They actually get uber overwhelmed, I think, especially on Christmas. I remember last Christmas we had to have, I think, three separate Christmas opening events and then another one on the 26th because it was just like, there's too much stuff. they want to play with what they just opened. Right. Don't make them open five other things.
Mm-hmm.
They really wanted that. Be happy that they really wanted that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and also I got one of those XL Lego kits for my kids, so I'm going to be playing with that with them. So everybody needs to be prepared for that. this is our final day of the tour of the world that we have been progressing on since June. Next week we'll sort of do a roundup and how's everybody doing after the Christmas holidays and maybe what to drink for the New Year's holiday, and then we'll start it all over again in January. The country we're visiting today is New Zealand, famous for its hobbits of late. New Zealand's kind of a cool country to talk about because it really is internationally, and I'm sorry for all of you New Zealand natives who are out there or fans of the country, it's kind of an international backwater. It's a very, very isolated country internationally. Its closest neighbor is Australia, and that's a three-hour plane ride from Australia to New Zealand. It's not close to anything. So internationally, it was definitely a latecomer on, certainly on the wine scene. And we'll talk a little bit about that today. But of course, I'm sure a lot of you out there have indeed had wines from New Zealand. Specifically, the king of grapes there is Sauvignon Blanc. And that is indeed what we're going to be trying today. But Marlborough, which is a subregion of the South Island, is a huge, huge, huge selling a category and you can go into any wine store and find that particular product, even if you don't find anything else from that country. That's kind of a staple. So as I said, it's 3 hours from Australia, but it's a tremendously important international player. In fact, two-thirds of all wine made there is sold abroad, not in the country. And it's very, very distinctive, especially the Sauvignon Blanc from there. But you pretty much, as the great wine writer Jancis Robinson said, you pretty much know what you're getting, which is, super racy acidity and crystalline fruit tones. And it, for that reason, they're very appealing wines. But it's interesting, as late as the early 1970s, there was essentially no serious viticulture there whatsoever. There was some hybrid varietals, by the early 80s, from the 1980s to the 2000s, vine growing caught on in a serious, serious way, including amongst, backyard hobbyists, and to the point where there was a, and we talked about this last week with Australia, there was, by 2008, there was so much wine production that there was a glut of wines, again, and the incurring financial fallout saw the amount of wine growers, not winemakers, but vine growers, drop in half from 2008 to 2012. So that was really drastic. A lot of people lost their shirts in that. But that said, it's still a huge, huge part of the international wine market. So there's about 800 wineries. For those of you who are kind of unfamiliar with New Zealand, I don't, you know, it's not necessarily, as I said, a big international player, so you may not see it. But if you imagine where Australia is and then off to its southeast, as I said, about 3 hours, in the middle of the ocean are these two islands, the North Island and the South Island. The South Island is by far the more important wine-producing island, but really quickly, the North Island is producing, because it is a little bit closer to the warmer parts of the world, producing some really interesting grapes like Syrah. The Syrah from there is really, really fabulous. And also Pinot Gris is taking off quite well. And then the South Island, which is home to the Marlborough region, obviously is dominated by Sauvignon Blanc. Also Pinot Noirs, Pinot Gris are showing a lot of promise there. But all 60% of all New Zealand vineyards are located in this area of Marlborough. Marlborough is on the northern tip of the South Island. It benefits, it's a really spectacular wine growing area. You have really long ripening season, long days, cool nights, sun, and also importantly, dry autumns, so that there's not a lot of autumnal rainfall to dilute the sugars in the grapes. And the vines ripen so slowly that there's a lot of sugar buildup while retaining really, really good acidity. And for those of you who have had Marlborough Sauvignon Blancs, like the one we're about to have, that's just an absolutely distinctive key. Really zesty, zippy acidity, but almost a certain level of sweetness because of some residual sugar. A lot of gooseberry and grapefruit are the hallmark tones of this. So let's try it. This is Haymaker Sauvignon Blanc. This is a staple at the store. We ripped through this. Very, very classic. And this is a wine that's only come about in the past couple of years, probably since 2012, when they've really sort of figured out their industry.
This is fabulous, man. This is so bright and vibrant, distinctive. Man.
And it's definitely not everybody's cup of tea. For people who are used to the Sauvignon Blancs of the Loire Valley in France, a little grassy, a little more subdued, really are taken aback by this. But it's a wine that is really good for first time wine drinkers, because it's very approachable. As I said, that, you know, it's slightly off dry, so it's not super tart, but the acidity is great. And actually, it's funny, we've talked about Riesling, which is a very ageable grape because of the sugars and because of the acidity. We talked about the Torontes grape, and we tried the aged Torontes grape when we were talking about Argentina. So this is another great, and I've actually had older Loire Sauvignon Blancs. I would actually be curious to see how some of these nice, high-acidity Marlborough Sauvignon Blancs go for, you know, 10, 20 years. And it's only now that we're going to start to see that, because, again, the winemaking hasn't really been that serious until recently.
What do you think, Kerry?
I this is one of the ones that, I enjoyed the bouquet of it more than I do the actual wine itself.
Yeah, it can be kind of bracing on the palate, and that's I think what some people don't love about it. Some people who like more mellow wines, it's not mellow. I mean, that's definitely a key to these wines. They're not mellow, and for that reason, they're really. In fact, I was just at the Fiddlehead restaurant, and they're making a cocktail using a little bit of Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc, because it really kind of wakes up, you know, the cocktail in the same way that it wakes up your glass.
I could see that working really well. I'd love to try.
Yeah, so
a cocktail made with this.
I forget what they're calling it, but
Kiwi
surprise. Go in and ask for the one with the Sauv Blanc in it. It was lovely. In fact, the reason I don't remember the name is because they were naming it. It's a brand new drink. But yeah, so again, and also I mentioned the Pinot Noirs from there are really, really exquisite. For those of you who like Burgundian weight, so lighter weighted, but still very juicy and fruity. So things like Mohua is a great brand from there. So check those out. And as I said, next week we'll sort of do a year-end roundup and start it all over again. And for those of you who are curious, we've been asked a lot. Bangor Wine and Cheese is open until 8 p.m. on the 24th, and then we'll be back at it on Monday.
The coming holiday, is it going to be a good day, and is there a better day?
It is actually going to be, I believe it is a flower day. So it is a good wine drinking day, so don't hesitate to crack open a good bottle or two, unless, of course, you're surrounded by folks that you don't care to do that with, in which case we have some really, really exquisite, moderately priced wine. Or, of course, if you're having a big crowd. But, yeah, come on in. We're fully stocked with excellent, excellent wines for the holiday. And I'm excited because, you know, it's always one of those holidays, again, like Thanksgiving, where people really break out the good food.
Yeah.
It's a good eating holiday, which are always my favorite.
You know what? Have a great Christmas.
Thank you. You gentlemen, too. And to all of you out there listening, have a wonderful holiday and a good luck in 2017 if you're not listening next week. And we'll see you in 2017.
Thanks, right, Eric. Here. That's Eric Meehan, Bangor Wine and Cheese. Message in the Bottle every Tuesday on Downtown. You can find Bangor Wine and Cheese right on Hammond Street, 86 Hammond Street in Bangor, between Fiddlehead and Brahma Grill. Stop on in, say hello, and we'll tell them Downtown sent you.